LKTV.
LKTV. I don't understand you.
You don't understand how rhythm works.
Apparently not.
You don't understand how timing works.
I guess
you
don't
understand a great many things. And yet you swan about like you do. So
right.
Remember that
Explain
you don't know how
me.
These things work. And shut your gob when the man is trying to do work here.
Explain how... Explain your... Okay.
Okay, there's a thing just... called phrasing. Maybe you've heard of it. It's why, like, the Sinatra version of a song sounds different than the Wayne Newton version of a song.
Yes,
so if I'm doing a short staccato TV,
uh-huh,
as opposed to TV,
yeah,
which takes longer,
yeah,
I start the short one later so that it ends at the same point that the longer one ends.
It just sounds late.
Well, you're dumb. You don't know jazz. I'm riffing and scatting over here, and you are a total square. So pack up your Hilton Alls crap and get out of my house. I'm Alonzo Duralde, film reviews editor for The Wrap and film critic and TV recapper for What the Flick. The know-nothing across the table from me is Dave White of linoleum-knife.com. You don't dig when I'm laying down.
I can't even speak right now.
Don't.
Everything you're saying is crazy.
Uh-huh. Man, if you have to ask what it is, you'll never know.
Okay. My name is I Have Bread Every Day. While you were at Sundance.
Yes.
I legally changed my name.
I Have Bread Every Day.
I have bread every day.
And do you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I do. I mean, only monsters and people with celiac don't.
Exactly. Is this a revelation of some sort, or why is this coming up now?
No, it's from the Oprah commercial. My new favorite
oh,
commercial.
Oh, right, yes.
My new favorite commercial is the Oprah's Weight Watchers commercial.
Where?
She's like, and you can have bread. I love bread. I have bread every day. I have bread every day. She repeats it. She's so excited to announce her bread intake.
How many cookies does she get every day?
I don't know. Have you seen the place on...
Because I'll swap bread for cookies.
Have you seen the place... No, are you kidding?
I'll make a sandwich out of it. What was that joke in Mismatch Game? I take two Cinnabons and make a sandwich.
Have you seen the place that's on it's on La Cienega,
uh-huh,
around near the Beverly Center. And it's a little storefront. And I mean it's narrow, like it's just a door.
Like near where Boole used to be or
farther down.
Okay.
Like near where that weird Villain's Lair apartment complex is now,
oh,
just
right
past the Beverly Center.
Yes.
Okay. There's a shop there that's like called the Cookie Diet. Have you seen it?
Oh, yes.
And you drive past it, the sign says, eat 6 cookies a day. And then it says like, and then eat this
and
supplement.
A sensible meal.
And a sensible dinner. Like, and I'm like, what's, first of all, what's in the cookies?
Fibrous masses, probably like some sort of concentrated kale or something. Horrifying.
But it's cookies.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
It's cookies the way, like, remember those Metamucil wafers or quote-unquote cookies? Try and choke one of those babies down without a gallon of water.
What were, remember when we were kids, what were figurines? What were those?
Those were more like, they're a diet bar, for one thing. Those were more like...
I remember those looked pretty tasty.
Those were that kind of like waffly cookie with some sort of nebulous...
Oh, those are gross.
...creamy thing.
I've never liked those foamy waffly cookies.
And then all covered in something resembling chocolate, you know.
Oh, wait, so like a Kit Kat.
Sort of.
I like it when it's a Kit Kat.
But less charming. Less flavorful.
I just remember seeing the commercials for that on TV and thinking, I want to try to eat one of those. Oh. Like, that seems like an interesting, fun snack food.
Yeah, no, I was obsessed with daytime television.
But like, it was always Seago and ladies. It was for grown ladies who wanted to lose weight.
Right, yeah.
It wasn't, I mean, it was candy.
Yes. No.
And it looked like a little Debbie bar.
I wanted all that stuff. I wanted Seago and figurines.
Yeah,
and
that stuff. It just looked delicious.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, it was futuristic because it was kind of like food in a stick.
It was kind of like space food sticky. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, or food in a can, like a meal in a can, like a thing that you would just. If you were in Logan's Run, you would get to have these foods.
Do you remember?
And that was very exciting.
Do you remember the meal in a pouch moment where it was you would get like a pouch that lived on the shelf that had like, you know, beef stroganoff and noodles in it, and you would submerge the entire pouch into boiling water for like 5 or 10 minutes, and then take it out.
Food in a plastic bag that you would put into boiling water.
It looked like foil, but yeah, it was basically a plastic bag that you would put in boiling water to heat it up. You would then cut the top off and dump out the contents, and voila! Do you remember this?
Well, that's like a bird's eye frozen meal from the back of the
day. Right, but these lived on the shelf. These were like vacuum packed and lived on the shelf.
That's disgusting.
Yes, well. It was a moment, and that moment did not last.
Now we have new contemporary disgusting food.
Exactly. Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
This is a podcast of the television.
It is.
My actual name is Dave White. You probably know me now that I'm a famous YouTube star from What the Flick?
Swelled Head.
I came in, and I took over What the Flick, and now I own it and run it. I'm the president of it.
You have not been back.
That was not a bad experience.
See, I told you you'd have fun.
Years. This was the funny part. Years.
I've done that show for 5 years.
Years of being...
And the whole time you're like...
years of you saying to me, you know, you really ought to consider going on What the Flick sometime, like when there's an opening. Like, if they want someone to fill in or what, you should think about it. And I'd always be like, no, I don't know. It's just, A, I'm lazy. B, I'm not a huge fan of being on camera. I don't like it very much. I don't like having my picture taken. I'm not into being videotaped. Like, I'm just not super into it.
Well, it's a good thing you're not into being videotaped since no one does that anymore.
Recorded for digital visual display, whatever the F they call it now. Look, I'm 100. I don't have to keep up with the current lingos.
And yet, you do go on What the Flick, and what happens?
I don't know.
America loves you.
They do.
You got kind YouTube comments.
I haven't looked at them.
Nobody gets kind YouTube comments.
I've had other people tell me about them.
I read them.
Well, let me tell you something, though. I know there were two of them that were not good.
Okay,
one
fine.
Of them, they're my favorites.
Yeah, those are the ones you remember, of course.
Because someone online told me that there was one, because Christy introduced me as your handsome husband.
Uh-huh.
And apparently someone wrote, he is not handsome. And then someone else underneath said... Well, that's not very nice to say. He's probably going to read these comments. It's like, here's what I love. I love the idea that someone is going onto YouTube and scolding someone else for not being nice.
Yeah.
Which is actually the definition of YouTube.
Exactly.
Is not being nice.
Horror. Someone might read it and take offense. That's ever stopped any other YouTube
commenter
in
comment. The
history of everything.
Well, that's not very nice. That's not a very nice thing to say.
But you know what?
Gary Cotty told me what the other one was. That he saw. The one he saw was... So Alonzo is the hot chick in this relationship.
Out of those, you got those two comments, but like 100 other ones were like, oh, Dave's so great. He's so funny. He's so funny.
Well, I'm so great.
And several of them actually observed that you and I have the same mannerisms. I don't know what that means.
How is that?
I don't know.
I don't think we do.
I no idea.
I think of you and me as complementary opposites.
Mm-hmm. For the most part.
You know, I mean, like, I think we work well together. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been able to do a podcast for 5 years.
True.
And enjoy it. And the other thing is that, like, we have our own sort of way of being. You know, like, you're not me, and I'm definitely not you.
Right.
We're going to get deep here. I think that's how our marriage works, frankly.
Well, but we may have developed some speech tics from each other.
Perhaps.
That, you know, that pop up in these things.
Yeah.
No idea, but...
Stops copies me. How about that? Why don't you stop copies me?
I'm the alpha here.
Also, don't make me spit hot tea out onto my laptop, please. Damn it.
So sorry this week's show is late. I was at Sundance, and
everything got all turned around this week.
Yeah.
You didn't come home from Sundance until Tuesday.
It was not really Sundance is not a great place to get caught up on your television.
It is. That is true.
There's a lot of things happening, but I have managed to see a few things since then.
We need to talk about important television news first.
Okay, sure. So the Golden Girls.
The Golden Girls.
Yes.
No. Yes, that important television news.
Although, if you are a fan of the Golden Girls, our friend Jim Colucci has written a second book on the subject.
Yeah, when's that out?
I don't know, but I've seen the cover design, so I imagine it's within a few months. So be on the lookout for that later this year, and we'll probably talk about it more as we get closer.
Right.
But no, Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
Stop the presses. Gilmore Girls, it's definitely back on Netflix.
Yeah.
And they have already cast 6 original cast members to return.
That's not enough.
But it's a start.
One of them's dead. He gets a pass.
Yes. Sorry, Edward Herman. We'll miss you. But we have Lauren Graham and Alexis Bledel.
Okay.
Who are, granted, they're the girls. They're essential.
Right.
We got Scott Patterson back. We got Kelly Bishop back. We got James Gunn's brother, the guy who plays Kirk. I forget his first name. His last name is Gunn. Keiko Ajayna, who plays Lane. So
okay, well,
that's a start.
Do you know who they haven't locked down yet?
Rose Abdu.
Let's just say it like it means.
She's
to
a
be
tough
said.
Negotiator. That one. I'm sure she's holding out for a bigger trailer or something.
Our delightful friend Rose Abdu, who played Gypsy, the mechanic
right.
on the show, who better be in this.
Yes.
In fact, why isn't she here today talking to us about this?
Wait, you didn't call her.
You're right, I didn't.
But we'll get her in here.
We should get her in here. We're gonna have a guest.
Yes.
Next week, we're going to have our first LKTV guest.
Because it's also our first LKTV that is subscriber only.
That's right. We're going to announce the subscription situation this week on Linoleum Knife,
right.
a podcast of the cinema.
Correct.
Which will always remain free. And then for the first LKTV that is going to be part of the subscription, we have a guest.
Yes.
Tell who it is.
It is our very good friend, a TV cult creator, Brian Fuller.
Hooray.
The man behind the upcoming American Gods and also Hannibal and Pushing Daisies and Wonderfall and Dead Like Me.
Yeah.
So we're very excited to have him in. We're going to talk to him about shows that influenced him.
I got to say.
Life and television.
Going through... Going through his assistant has been the craziest, funniest thing to me in the past few days.
He is people with people.
I know.
And they're the luckiest people in the world.
I understand that. But I mean, like, otherwise, sure, here's the way it has normally gone. Text Brian. Hey. That's the communication.
Come over.
But we're going to his office. Oh, I've never seen this office.
It's the, I guess it's the American Gods
office. We're going to do the show there. We've got a drive on. We've got passes. We've got a time frame. I feel like we're, I feel like I've made an appointment with you, like through a third party. I'm not offended by this. I think it's just funny.
No,
like,
I know. It's
he's
that weird moment where
he's a big deal.
He's a big deal.
But you know what's great? His assistant is super efficient.
Oh, yeah.
And thorough. Like, mm-hmm. all the details are in these emails. Like, yes. we'll have this for you and this for you and this for you. And I was like, wow, you're...
I knew you'd respond to that well.
You're good.
Because you like a detail.
I like a thorough, detailed person.
Anyway, back to Gilmore Girls.
Let's get Rose on.
Yes, we should totally get Rose on.
So lobby for her inclusion. Absolutely. In this. We need her. I need Miss Patty.
Yes.
I need Babette.
Yes.
I need the town troubadour.
But the town troubadour left, remember?
He'll be back. Yeah. I need Taylor Dosey.
Yes.
I need...
Jackson!
I need Jackson and... Suki. Suki. Suki St. James.
Yes.
And she better not be difficult with this process.
Miss Oscar nominee.
She better remember her roots.
That's right. You're part of an ensemble, lady.
Right. That's right. I need Paris.
Yes.
I need...
Oh, are they going to get Paris's boyfriend? He's off producing Empire.
Yeah, Danny Strong is a big deal now, too.
Yeah, he's busy.
I need Paris's boyfriend, whatever his character's name was.
Jess. We need Jess.
Listen, here's the thing.
You know she wound up with Jess,
I was
right?
Team Jess that entire show.
Yes.
When she was with Dean early on,
uh-huh.
I was like, Dean's nice and tall.
Dean's a townie.
I don't think of it like that, because in my heart and soul, I too am a townie.
No,
so
I don't just mean that he's from Stars Hollow, which, yes, we all wish we could be.
No. I mean,
he's a townie.
Any kind of townie.
Okay.
I'm a townie.
Yes, but you don't, but Rory deserves
I am
more.
With the townies, all right. Okay? The townies are my people. But Dean was just nice, and that's all Dean was nice.
And nice isn't enough.
And Logan.
Oh, forget it.
Don't get me started on Logan.
Ugh.
The worst.
Yeah.
Just a terrible, terrible.
Yeah, no, she was.
Nothing good about Logan.
She was better off with Naked Guy than with Logan.
She was better off with Chad Michael Murray.
Good. I always forget he was on that show.
Logan.
Oh, can we bring back Dave Rogowski?
Please, that would be nice.
Yes.
I'm too excited into the microphone. But yeah, she went with Jess in the long term future.
Mm-hmm.
She's with Jess, and I was always Team Jess. The minute Jess came along, I was like, "Well, there's your guy."
Yeah.
And when she dumped him for Logan, I was like, "You're making a big mistake."
Yeah.
That is a huge mistake.
You know what?
Because he's the right guy. And remember how he came back at the end in the final season, and he had grown up and matured and was doing this really interesting thing with his life?
But he needed to go away and grow up.
But then he did.
Yes, exactly. So now they should be together. But I'm saying, when she dumped him, it was the right thing to do because he was still a hot mess. I guess this means Christopher will be back.
Whatever about him.
Although, you know, that he that actor plays himself
I know.
On Degrassi.
You told me. Yeah. Maybe didn't you talk about it on the show?
I can't remember if I mentioned that part.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
There's
Rose Melon Farman Abdu.
what was the name of the DAR lady that they talked about but we never saw? It was something like
Biddy something or other. Like, here's
something like Pippi St. Cloud or something.
Yeah.
These great preppy names.
The old school preppy names of all of Emily's friends were one of the more delightful elements of. Because I can see that moment in the writer's room.
they probably had like a chart on the wall.
Like someone's like, got the Lisa Birnbach books open, like right behind us, and is like, okay, Biddy Kiki, Bunny. Bunny? Wasn't one of them named Bunny something?
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. So, yeah. And obviously, my lady, Sam Phillips, will be a part of this as well.
La, la, la. Yeah. She did the music for Bunheads, too.
Yes.
Right? So, yeah. So, yeah. She's down.
Yeah.
She's fully Team Paladino.
She's the greatest. If you guys don't know the music, the non-Gilmore Girls music of Sam Phillips, that is some stuff. That's like grown-up mature music for grown-up people.
Like, even if you think you hate singer-songwriter stuff,
you like her.
You'll like her.
It
took a while to convince me, but I came around.
There's no one like her. And
there were a couple of episodes that provided some longer stabs at her stuff that wasn't just what she knew that pity used to call strum strum la la.
Right.
Like, what's the if, don't think I'm coming back. What was that song?
Oh, God, I don't remember the name of it. But it's on one of her albums.
Yeah, but that, remember on that episode where Emily and Richard had a big fight?
Or they're angry or something. Yeah, people were upset at each other. There was that song.
If I could write.
I've liked her since I was a kid, like since I was 18.
Well, you liked her since
back in the day.
Her original iteration.
Back when I was a young Baptist teen, and she was a young, she's like the same, we're the same age ish. She might be a couple years older than me. But back when I was a young Baptist teenager, and she put out her first record when she was like 18 or 19.
As Leslie Phillips.
Yeah, a Christian pop record.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a bizarre, dark period of my life. And
probably hers, too.
Well, as it turned out, like, that career didn't last her very long. Like, that Christian pop career was a little confining, it turned out.
Just a bit.
For her. And
And of course, she's also in Die Hard 3.
I may have worn an Emperor t-shirt on What the Flick, but I have more in me than just metal and hardcore punk and noise and stuff like that. I go all over the world musically.
You cover the world.
I recommend that.
So very excited about the Gilmore Girls revival. And obviously, if you've never seen the show, it is now all currently streaming on Netflix, and you owe it to yourself to watch it. It's one of the greats.
While we're on the subject of music, I've watched four since you and I last spoke before you went to Sundance. I've watched four more episodes of American Idol.
Now we're at Hollywood now?
We're in the Hollywood week. And last night was group sing. Remember that?
Yes. There's always the one person that doesn't want to practice, and they can't find her anywhere.
And it's 15 years of this show. You are now you now have kids on this show who were born the year it started.
Right.
Okay. And
they were literally conceived to an episode of this show.
Weaned on the tropes of American Idol. Watching steadily year after year, understanding the pitfalls that can sink a contestant, that can ruin a contestant. Having a bad attitude, not playing along with your team when it's group sing night, when you've got to choreograph something and harmonize together and sing together. That moment when you have to set yourself aside
and be part of the group.
And be part of a group because you all rise or fall together.
Not learning the lyrics. That's
or not learning the lyrics.
I haven't watched the show in like a decade, and I still remember all this
There's
stuff.
This great moment with Harry Connick Jr. standing up and being like, more energy! You're on American Idol! Like, what other...
What are you saving it
motivation
for?
Do you need? You are now on American Idol. Seriously, like, you're on the last season. In the words of Gary Cotty, who was watching it with me last night, you're on the last season of a sinking ship. Get loud!
Rearrange those deck chairs.
Yeah. And Harry Connick Jr. said it last night. He was like, this is the last one. And other ways of getting yourself heard are, they exist now because of us.
Yeah.
You know, other competition shows.
Mm-hmm.
The internet.
I was going to say, YouTube really wasn't a thing when Idol started.
Correct. Yeah. And so, you know, these little dummies. And there's only... Oh, and here's another thing. Same old song choice pitfalls. You don't sing Aretha Franklin. You don't sing Whitney Houston.
No.
You don't. Those songs are in everyone's head.
Stevie Wonder.
Already. Those songs are already in everyone's head.
You cannot improve upon them.
And you cannot make it different in a way that will make anyone say, you know, Aretha singing Chain of Fools was fine, but this little twerp from Idaho sure is killing it. That ain't ever going to happen. Never.
Did anybody do Hallelujah?
Thank God, no.
Ugh.
No pun intended. But the, so yeah, some dummy got up there and sang Aretha Franklin. I was like, oh, that's adorable. You're dead now. So here are the things that I was most excited about.
Okay.
All right. The dude with mono. This poor, sweaty, golem-looking creature with mononucleosis.
Well, mono doesn't make anybody look great.
This kid is in Hollywood Week and gets a phone call from his doctor. We're sorry to report you have mono. This kid looks like he's about to fall down at any moment. When he announces it, Jennifer Lopez moves back in her chair. Oh. Like, this is a woman.
Unclean.
Yeah. This is a woman who, when Harry Connick Jr. had like some little monkey or squirrel or something on his shoulder, she ran squealing away in the other direction like, no one is allowed to touch Miss Lopez. And the minute this kid was like, I have mono, she goes, that chair. It was as though someone yanked her back. Like, she moved back of her own, like, stay 30 feet away.
Wasn't it like a game show where, like, if you got the answer wrong, your chair got yanked back off stage?
That's something like that. Well, that's what happened to her. Although it was her own two
locomotion
feet that did it. It was great. The
is not Ricky Lee Jones still in? Did she make it?
I don't know. I haven't seen her.
Oh.
But so he gets up there. His group wants nothing to do with him. So he gets up there and sings solo. But he's dressed like Torgo from Manos. And sweating. And looks like he's going to fall down. And yet they sent him through anyway. I don't know how he's supposed to participate.
He's plucky.
When they sent him through, I was like, oh, yeah. Go lick everyone. Literally, lick the competition.
Use all the cups.
Yeah. Just everyone's glasses at dinner. So there's the...
It's called leveling the playing field.
Yeah. The girl named Geneve...
I don't know anybody's names.
Super hardcore country girl, lives in the middle of the mountains somewhere. There's no electricity. But she plays the fiddle or the cello or the whatever it is.
I don't think I saw her in
beautifully. She has this incredible Iris Dement kind of voice.
Oh,
that
wow.
that yelping, yodeling Appalachian kind of country voice, that pure country, hard
like
country
hog
voice.
Hog calling in mourning.
Yeah. She's something. I want them. She dresses like Annie Oakley. I want them to get that off of her.
Mm.
And you know that's a thing the show was like, keep dressing this way.
Yeah. Here's another bonnet for you.
Put your rodeo clown outfit on. We want that about you.
America loves Holly Hobby.
Right. So then there was this This girl who's a personal trainer from Kosovo.
Okay.
I guess she's an American citizen now. I don't know how. Do you have to be an American citizen to win American Idol?
I'm not up on the eligibility requirements.
She sings really well, but every time she opens her mouth, all I could think of was like, I learned to sing by watching Cheeky Girls on Romanian Idol. Right. You know, like, it's just is so funny hearing her talk. Then there's this girl named Shelby. S-H-E-L-B-I-E. Ew. Shelby Z is what she calls herself. She's the first person so far to speak of herself in the third person.
Oh, good.
She left her group to join this other group of, like, misfits. And to justify it, she said, I had to do what was right for Shelby at that point. She's a disaster.
That's just not something Garth Brooks would do.
I can't wait for her to keep going. Like, she's going to be someone I hate watch.
Right. But can she sing, or is she just good?
Oh, she sings really well.
Oh, okay.
She belts it. She's got that growly kind of belting voice. She's a hairdresser. She's real tacky. She's like a lot of women I knew back in Texas. Like, she's from Alabama, but she might as well be from Texas. Gotcha. It's all the same thing down there. And then, I don't know this girl's name, but she's a complete B. When everyone except one girl in her group made it through, she went right up to the camera and said, whoever made it was supposed to make it. If they didn't, it was for a reason.
Okay.
So way to go. You know, sore winners.
Way to go, Sun Tzu.
Yeah. Like, Brenda K. Starr's daughter went through.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
What about Pipsqueak blues singer?
Bobby Hill?
Yes.
No, he got booted.
Okay.
He's out.
What about Country Mimic Boy?
I don't know what happened to him. Okay. They haven't shown what happened to him. But there's this great moment when Brenda K. Starr's daughter is singing, and there's a woman behind Brenda K. Starr talking, and they've got the camera right on Brenda K. Starr. Mm-hmm. And so she turns around and she goes, shh. It's like, you just got shushed by Brenda K. Starr, singer of I Still Believe. You stay shushed. But the best. Oh, and her group, Brenda K. Starr's daughter's group, sang that Hit 'Em Up Style song by Blue Cantrell.
Oh, right. Remember
that song? That made Gary Cotty very happy.
I'm sure
he was on the couch watching it with me. Okay, but here's the best person. The single best human being on that show. And if they are grooming her, if they have already chosen her as the winner, thank God. Because it feels like they're grooming a narrative of her as being like selfless, great mom person. She's the one, first of all, LaPortia is her name. She's the only one whose name I've voluntarily remembered so far. She's black and has the giant afro. Have you seen her?
No, but you've mentioned her
before. She has the cutest baby daughter. Who's like 10 months old.
Mm-hmm.
So cute that baby that Gary and I at the same time said, I want to eat the baby. I read an article on the internet about how that's a thing. That people see cute babies, cute little fat babies, they say they want to eat them. And I don't know why.
Dripping with sauce.
But yeah, and apparently it's like this.
Yeah, people have always said it.
But the article, and I have to go back and reread it because I can't remember now where this impulse comes from, but the idea that something is so cute that you want to ingest it.
and take its cute powers for yourself.
Yeah, take its cuteness powers. But boy, that baby is cute. So anyway, okay, so here's what LaPortia does. There's a group of two girls who can't... there's a group of two girls who are going to be eliminated if they can't find a third person for their group. You have to have at least three people in your group, no more than four. and you have to find them yourself.
Oh, you're not assigned.
Okay. You're not assigned. So they had three, and then their third girl abruptly quit the competition.
Missing one girl.
Walked away saying, I can't do this. They get the camera on the producer, the contestant coordinator, not a producer, contestant coordinator, calling the girl's father on the phone and says, hi, is what's-her-face there? Like, whatever her name is. Dad says, yeah, she can't do it. They didn't even get through to the girl. Like, she's like, I'm not...
hold all calls.
I'm not accepting calls right now. And the contestant coordinator looks at the other two girls and goes, guess you got to find someone else. And it's like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Because
you know, they make them stay up all night.
Right.
They make them stay up all... This is so great. They make them stay up like all night long.
And then they're like, where's your energy?
Yeah. Fighting, getting angry, hungry, testy with each other.
Horse.
And yeah, you know, just rag. They run them ragged.
Sweating from mono.
And that's fantastic.
You want fame? This is where you start.
This is where you start, yeah. So, they start begging other groups of four to give someone up. Mm. And everyone's like, no, get lost.
No.
They go up to LaPortia's group. And at first, all four of them say, no, we're a group. And then the camera cuts later to LaPortia and she says, I keep thinking about those girls. I'm going to leave this group and I'm going to go save their group. So she does. Mm. She goes and saves these two girls from elimination.
And whips them into shape. Probably,
whips them into shape. Destroys when she sings. The other two girls get sent through along with her. She is a hero. She actually says to one of them, who cannot remember the lyrics to Staying Alive.
Oh, God.
At all. Whatever you do, don't stop. Make something up in the moment. Keep going. Pretend. Sell it. Whatever you got to do, you keep singing. And she says, if you're going to be wrong strong.
Oh, I like that. That's kind of the motto of this show.
She's helping people that she knows are going to screw it up before they screw it up.
Nice.
So she's absolute goodness.
Mm.
Yeah. She's a superhero with the cutest baby.
Well, all right.
No one's watching American Idol except me. Doesn't matter. I'm sticking with it now to the end.
All right.
They better give me an Adele. Her name should be LaPortia. I've found my person.
Okay.
My woman is LaPortia.
Well, I will try.
I don't care about these other people.
I'll try and catch some of these.
That little Genevieve girl's cute, but she's not going to win because she's too niche.
Gotcha.
She's going to sing like mountain murder ballads or something.
But you can come in like ninth and still get a country career out of the show.
Yeah, but I don't think country radio would want a girl like her anyway either. No, she's way too hillbilly.
Gotcha.
Like, they like their hillbillies to be like, here's country radio likes their hillbilly women to be like Gretchen Wilson, like with a bottle of JD at the CMAs, just guzzling it in her chair. Like, I'm here to party, and I'm dressed in a see-through thing, like drunk falling down.
Hillbilly women who go to Walmart, not ones who make their own clothes.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So I watched DC's Legends of Tomorrow.
Make me care.
I don't know that I can. It's basically a spin-off of Arrow and Flash. It's sort of it's in the same universe, and they're overlapping some characters that have popped up on those shows. What's interesting about it is that within the first episode, they basically admit, like, okay, the premise is that in the future, everything is horrible, and this guy named Vandal Savage, who has lived since Egyptian times, has taken over everything and has ruined the world. So Rip Hunter, who's kind of a renegade time master, takes a time ship, whatever they're called, and heads back to 2016 to get together these people, whom he says are all these, you know, great legends who are going to help him overthrow Vandal Savage. over the course of the episode, they come to realize that the reason that he recruited them all was because they were all so negligible that none of their absence would really affect the timeline that much. Which is true, because they all sort of DC C-listers, but you know, but then they eventually decide, well, but that's history as it exists now. Maybe if we can do this thing, then we'll matter, you know. So you've got the Atom, who's played by Brandon Routh.
Oh.
So he's still around.
They gave him something to do.
They gave him another superhero to play.
Great.
There's Firestorm, which is half Victor Garber and half this other guy. The first other half guy died, and now he's got a hip, young, black mechanic guy is the other half of Firestorm.
Right.
Laurel Lance, who I don't quite know who she is. She's somehow related to one of the Black Canaries on Arrow, and I guess she's a lesbian, maybe? Don't know. There's Hawkman and Hawkgirl. Or
hey, speaking of lesbians, Hawkwoman, sorry to interrupt you, yes. But not really.
No, for sure not.
Were you telling me speaking of lesbians, are you telling me that Ray Liotta is making out with a guy on...
That's what I read on Shades of Blue. I was hoping you were keeping up with this.
I've got all four episodes in TiVo.
You haven't watched any of it yet?
I haven't watched it. Well, I've watched like the first 10 minutes of the first episode of the pilot.
Oh, okay, because you talked about it, so I thought you'd at least seen the pilot.
Just so I could...
10 minutes.
Just so I could know that... well, like 30 minutes.
Fine.
Yeah.
Jennifer Lopez has two TV shows.
She's
right now.
I know. And she, you know, she's a bad cop.
Yes.
She's a bad lady lieutenant. But I didn't know that Ray Liotta makes out with a guy.
Yes.
Okay. Well, here's... It better not be some, like, pretty... some little PYT.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It needs to be another Ray Liotta type.
Another craggy, you know. Yeah. Yes. That would be great.
That's what I want. I want late middle-aged cop on late middle-aged cop action. On CBS.
Well, weirdly enough, now that you mention it, there are two gay actors on this, on Legends of Tomorrow.
I keep talking about that.
Well, Victor Garber, yeah. And then you've also got Captain Cold, who's played by Wentworth Miller. So there's that. And then Captain Cold's partner in crime, who has a heat gun, and I don't really know his name. Is that everybody? Yeah, I think so. Anyway, so they're just traipsing about time and trying to figure out how to stop Vandal Savage, who has been murdering Hawkman and Hawkwoman, Hawkgirl, whatever, in like every life they've ever had since ancient Egypt, basically.
Yeah.
You know, it's... You either kind of are down for these CW versions of DC superheroes or not. I kind of am at this point. I mean, I started watching The Flash for What the Flick, and at first I thought it was sort of a chore, but I kind of dig it now. It's gotten loopier in season two, which has been fun. They've really sort of embraced the sort of nutty comic bookiness of it, like with all the parallel universes and whatnot. And this is, you know, it's a team show, which is kind of fun, but at the same time, it is this team of... also Rands, you know, so collectively right. That are more interesting than any of them individually, I guess.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm willing to give it a shot. You know, I hear Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. got better, which I've never seen. I've never watched Agent Carter, which people seem to like.
There's too many of them.
I know. I'm gonna check back on Supergirl in a few months and see if it's
picked
up. You've
got to be full committed all the time nerd to keep up with all those things.
Well, I have to say,
and watch literally nothing else.
If I were 11.
Well, you'd be down.
Oh, my God. I'd be consuming all of this stuff eagerly. And then when they weren't on, I would be like rewatching DVDs of, you know, the Avengers or whatever.
Yes.
You know, I get what they're going for here. And there is they're fun. And if you are steeped in DC lore, there's always these sort of passing references to people or institutions that are in the comics. And so there's these kind of fun shout outs you can kind of follow along with. There's a certain cheapitude to these shows, you know.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, the effects are okay. They're not movie level, but they're not, you know, Adam West either.
Right.
So yeah, it's not a show we're doing on What the Flick, but I'll watch a couple of these and see where it goes. Why not?
I mean, we gave Supergirl how many episodes?
Three or four.
Yeah, and then,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm also watching a Showtime documentary series.
I watched that while you were gone.
Oh, you did? Okay, yes. Good. The Circus.
What's the name of it? The Circus.
Yeah, which is about the 2016 political campaign. The show has started, but it's still being filmed because they are literally kind of on the road every week. The two guys who wrote Game Change, who also, I guess, have a show on Bloomberg TV, which is a thing. I don't know what Bloomberg TV is, but
I'm sure it's in our channel lineup somewhere.
Yes, I'm sure it is. Anyway, so these guys are you know, veteran political reporters, and then they're hanging out with a veteran political consultant, and it's kind of like a nonfiction, like Tanner 88 or something. It's, you know, running around Iowa and New Hampshire with all the candidates, and they've been kind of breaking down the episodes thematically so far. So the first one was called The Outsiders, and it was about Trump, Cruz, and Sanders. And the second one was called The Prisoner's Dilemma, focusing on Bush, Rubio, Kasich, and Christie. The idea of the Prisoner's Dilemma being that these guys all know that there need to be fewer GOP candidates, if there's going to be any hope of knocking like Trump and or Cruz out of the top shot. But nobody wants to be the one to take that dagger for anybody else.
Because it's a pool of narcissistic sociopaths.
Well, yes.
You kind of
Who else runs for president?
You kind of have to be a narcissistic sociopath to run for president, period.
At any party.
Like, sorry, Bernie Sanders. I'm down for you, but...
You do want this.
You do want this, which makes you...
suspect.
Yeah. Like, okay. I think...
to say nothing of Hillary.
Here's personally. I want to vote... always. Mm-hmm. Because I want that, as delusional as it may be, I want to think that I matter.
Sure.
On the other hand, at the same time, it's not punk rock to care. And it is definitely not punk rock to like a politician. Because politicians are inherently corrupt. And I'm even including, like I say, Bernie Sanders. I'm also including, who's the really good-looking one that's gay? Brian something.
Oh, Brian Sims.
Yeah, him. The one that all the gays are like, ooh, over. Yeah.
Well, he's dreamy. he's the congressman from Dreamy.
Whatever.
Even he.
He's a politician.
Yes.
And therefore, there's something wrong with him. Someone's knocking on
moment.
Our door.
Yeah. Sorry about that. You were saying.
I forget.
Politicians are corrupt.
They're bad people. And as for this show, I'll keep watching it with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, I'm
but at the same time, I don't know what this show is actually going to contribute to my understanding. It's certainly not going to change the way I think
I think it's like a little half hour kind of concentrated news junkie dosage of
like
the campaign
every trail. Night at dinner, I make dinner and then you and I sit down on the couch and eat dinner and watch Rachel Maddow.
Right.
You have now been given another glimpse into our domestic life. Sometimes we eat at the dining room table and then go watch Rachel Maddow. Sometimes we just eat on the couch and watch Rachel Maddow. Generally, if it's something that can be served in a bowl, couch. Something with a lot of sauces, table.
Sure.
Then Rachel Maddow. Transfer. But either way, Rachel Maddow happens.
Right.
And I feel like... between her and the internet and the local news, I love my local
you
news.
You watch local news.
I need to know where the home invasions are happening.
Nightcrawler.
I feel like I'm kind of up to my ears a lot in news, politics, and the exhausting process of these Republicans, and now the Democrats in it all too. I don't want to get burned out. And a show like this is just like more icing on the cake of politics, 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 and the minutiae of who's being mean to who, who's saying something horrible, like, and Trump saying daily despicable, repulsive things.
Right. I know, I mean, it is...
And driving everybody wild with the delight. Like, who are you people? I want to know, is anyone listening to this show who thinks Donald Trump is a reasonable human being that won't actually cause the end of humanity? Because that's what this feels like to me. This feels like a political party that is dead set on destroying the world and all the people who live in it. I swear that's how... I think that's their plan. I think their plan is to destroy the environment so we can't live in the world anymore, and then make wars so that if there's anything left, there'll be no one here to enjoy it.
And so what, they've all got underground bunkers?
And starve the losers to death. Like, that's how it feels to me.
Animals, like, would be bred and slaughtered.
It is a race to the bottom that seemingly never ends.
Mm.
And they are trying to outgross each other,
right,
every day.
Yeah, I mean... Are
any of you Republicans? Are any of you people listening Republicans? If you are, please explain yourself to me. Please explain your political party to me.
This is...
Right. I need to understand, because I can't understand.
To me, it seems like, and I'm hardly the only person saying this, but for decades, the Republican Party has gone out of their way to sort of sow this kind of ignorance and xenophobia and whatnot, and now they're reaping Donald Trump. They're right. Reaping people who are saying, you know what, you weren't ignorant and xenophobic enough for us, so get
right.
out of the way.
Right.
Let us show you how it's really done.
Right.
You know, those chickens are coming home to roost, I think. But that's just me. I don't know. In any event, the circus, I find, is to be an interesting show, although yeah. you're right, it's January. And,
yeah.
you know, you kind of got to pace yourself.
Yeah. Like, I think the reason I'm able to watch it right now is because all of December, I ignored all the news.
Right.
I ignored all the news in December. I woke up every morning and I looked at weather.com and I didn't look at the morning news. I didn't watch Maddow in December. I didn't read political articles in December. All of December for me was like, Christmas. Christmas, Christmas, Christmas. La 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 la. I can't hear you. Christmas. But now it's January.
Right.
So it's like, you know.
We're days away from Iowa.
I need to know things again.
Yes.
I don't want to know any more things, though. I'll keep watching it.
All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I watched War and Peace while you were gone.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Tell me about that.
It's pretty good.
Now, who is this, a British production?
It's BBC, yeah.
Okay.
And it's already aired in England.
Right.
It's
showing here on Lifetime with a permanent Lifetime logo in the lower right-hand corner. I was watching with you for a while. I'm like, is that bug ever going away?
Mariah Carey's War and Peace.
Brought to you by Folgers.
Brought to you by Folgers on Lifetime. Yeah, it's weird that it's on Lifetime.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like it should be on Masterpiece Classic. Is that the door again?
It is the door again. Sorry, hang on.
Are we back?
Lifetime.
We're back.
Television okay. for women and Russian aristocrats repelling the Napoleonic invasion.
It's called Paul Dano or Dano?
Dano, I think.
Paul Dano as Pierre Bezukhov.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, I have had to watch this with the subtitles on.
Yeah, because you can't bleep right over the Russian
no.
names.
First of all, everyone is acting in the contemporary style of... mumble, 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 mumble. Yeah. Just running words together. No one's enunciating anything.
Yeah, I know.
And all those names. Bezukhov, Bolkonsky, Rostova, Drubetskoy, Bolkonskaya. Wait, here's another one. Bezukhova, Kuragin. It just goes on and on and on.
Kuryagin?
Whatever. It's literally, it's all Boris and Natasha. Just constant. And so there are 75 characters in this thing, and they all are interacting, and they've all got impossible names, and you're following them, but only if you're able to read along.
Right.
So I'm doing that. Tuppence Middleton
ooh.
Is in it. You know, I like her.
Yes.
Lily James, who's great. From
okay.
Downton
sure.
Abbey, yeah. Cinderella. Jim Broadbent, Greta Scacchi.
Ooh, I haven't seen her in a while.
Stephen Ray, Gillian Anderson. Mm. It's just Brian Cox. It's
Cool. Okay.
Whole bunch of folks.
Very prestige-y.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, have you
read the war scenes look a little budgety.
Oh.
Everything's the fog of the morning
or
the evening time, you know, so like you can't see much background. Like there's like seven people having a war.
DC's Legends of Russia.
Yeah, yeah. But other than that, it's you know, it looks appropriately sumptuous.
Now, have you read the book? Do you know this?
No.
So apart from our friend Brad Griffith's One Man War and Peace show that we saw at the LA Fringe.
Yes.
Is that it? I mean, like you haven't seen the other movies or okay.
No. It's one of the gaps in my cultural education. I figured I might as well start with a handsome BBC production.
Why not?
It's got like six episodes. They're a couple hours each. It's long. It's like a 10-12 hour thing.
Well, there's like an 8-hour Russian, like the Sergei Bondarchuk movie that's like the great Soviet epic is, you know, the 8-hour War and Peace, but I've never seen it.
How do you get to see it?
It had a VHS release. I don't know if it's ever been put out on DVD. I'll have to keep a lookout.
All right. I keep watching My 600-Pound Life.
Oh, my God.
In the words of my 6-year-old niece, who is now 14,
mm-hmm.
she used to watch all the animal rescue shows.
Right.
When she was little. One of my favorite, but my all-time favorite quote from this child. It was one of my nieces in Texas. In the middle of a commercial for one of the animal rescue shows, I'm sitting at the dining room table at my brother's house. She's in the living room. I can't see the television. She's describing the show to me in detail, though, as I'm sitting at the table. Mm-hmm. She's talking about a horse who's got skin that's falling off.
No.
She's glued to it. 6 years old. The commercial comes on, and she turns to me. Looks me straight in the eye, and she goes, "I like this show because it's sad."
All righty.
I like My 600-Pound Life. Here's why.
Because it's sad?
No. Because it starts sad, because everyone on the show has a reason. It's not just like, I just love cupcakes. It's like their kid died, or they were raped, or just something in their life went completely wrong, and they just started eating. And one of the things that you see in the show is, like, A, they all get gastric bypass.
Ah.
But then, like, most of them start going to therapy and sort of addressing these things.
Right.
You know? Like, I'm normal fat.
Sure.
I'm a big fat dude.
You're standard fat.
I'm standard issue fat, and the reason is...
You like cupcakes.
I like them cupcakes. But this is a whole other level.
Right.
Of, you know...
Morbid obesity.
Problems. And so... So, by the end of the show, you know, it's like they follow him for almost a whole year. This isn't a quick situation. They take you through a year of the weight loss, and by the time the year is over, they've all lost like 300 pounds. And so, you know, they're down from 700 to 350 or whatever, which is fantastic.
Sure.
You know, means they're not going to die.
Yeah.
So, but then there's now a companion show.
Oh, boy.
I missed Fit to Fat to Fit this week. I'll get back to you on Fit to Fat to Fit because that's great. Gosh. And exploitation out the butt. But the show that I always wanted to see is now a show, and it's called Skin Tight.
Oh, no.
Yes! Here's what happens on Skin Tight.
I can already guess.
People who lost 400 pounds... have to figure out what to do with all that skin. And they all get that skin surgeried off.
Well, yeah. I mean...
And it's like big, long strips of human bacon. Like, it's just... They lay it out like you see the surgery, which... You know I love surgery.
I know.
It takes like two people to lift up a big strip of excess skin with the bacon underneath it, and it's just like laid down on the table in the surgery, and you're like, whoa, it's amazing. Here's the best part, though. At the end, everybody's bodies, like, first of all, well, they've got lots of scars because of the surgery.
Sure.
But everyone's body is sort of like back to regular. And
what do they do with all the skin? Give it to burn victims?
I don't know what they do with it.
Yeah.
Cook it up. I don't know.
Stop.
I don't know. But the show starts, again, it's just like My 600-Pound Life. It starts off, and it's sad because you're like, you've got this person who lost, you know,
300-400 pounds,
who's still carrying all this skin around and still feels awful.
I had it tanned and turned into an overnight bag.
You're like, I've accomplished all this stuff, and yet now my body is still conspiring against me.
Sure.
And so...
There's not enough yoga in the world.
No. Because one of the guys turned himself into like a bodybuilder.
Oh.
Like he was like this really fat kid who became fat, and was 700 pounds when he was like 20. And without gastric bypass, just by changing his eating patterns and exercising, he went down to 300 pounds and then down even more.
Right.
But still carrying all this skin around. He's like, I have to wear compression garments.
Mm.
I've been going to the gym. He goes, and I work out, and I work out, and I work out. Look at these muscles, and it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Because I've got all this skin. So, he gets all the skin cut off. He looks like a regular old strapping gym bro now, and he's got, like, guns and everything. It's crazy. Hmm. It's a great show.
Ugh.
Because at the end of every show, it's like, ta-da! It's fantastic.
That sounds like a great show for you.
Plus surgery, which I truly adore. I have also... The people listening to this show have zero respect for what I'm watching on television. I'm very sorry. And yet, I'm also not. Little Women Atlanta...
Oh, God.
...is the train wreck that you've always dreamed of. Here's the thing. I want... bitchy reality TV, like this kind of show. Like, as everyone knows, or everyone who knows me well knows, my very favorite TV show is The Shaws of Sunset. And in a show like Shaws of Sunset, or all the Real Housewives shows, or any other show about a niche group of people, the draw is fighting. Not just arguing. Brawls. Drink throwing, hair pulling, knock it down, flip the table. Let's...
Prostitution whore.
Mix it up. Prostitution whore. Yeah. The Little Women shows are all over the place now.
Yeah.
There's like My Little Family, you know, the little family, the little guy and the little woman who have little kids... who are also little. The kids have dwarfism as well.
Is there one where they're like, they're chocolatiers or something?
There was that one, but they got divorced. I forget the name of the show. And that might not be on anymore. But the little people reality shows are all over the place. I mean, there's a lot of them out there.
Mm-hmm.
You may not have known this, but there are lots of them.
I was vaguely aware. I have not watched
any. But the Little Women shows in particular are now a big deal.
Uh-huh.
And so... So
they're basically the real Little Housewives, right?
Yeah. Little Women LA, I watched for a while, but all they do is just sort of like snipe at each other.
Mm.
Little Women Atlanta, they throw down.
Oh, brother.
It is. Here's the best part. They show the ads for it in the middle of War and Peace.
If you like Leo Tolstoy, you'll love Little Women Atlanta.
Well, that's how I learned that it was going to be a thing. Oh, and so brother. I was like, oh, I got to watch this. The women on Little Women Atlanta got the memo.
Hmm.
And the memo was, all the memo said was,
don't bore me.
All the memo said was, go buck wild. And oh man, are they. It's wild. Now, the thing about reality TV, this kind of reality TV, is that all human differences are flattened. Nothing really means anything in this genre of television. So the fact that all the Shahs of Sunset are Persian is just a sort of decorative detail, really, on the constant fighting.
Right.
The housewives have...
Come for the Persian, stay for the crazy.
The housewives have nothing in common. They just are all women.
Yeah.
Remember the A-list? Same deal. Just gays fighting.
Yeah.
And here, it's little people. And again, and that is such like a minor consideration in the narrative. It's just a unifying thing that brings them all together in one way or other. It's, you're here for the fighting. And the fighting is fantastic. So, if you're a fan of fighting...
What are they fighting about? Is it the usual, like, you didn't come to my charity fashion show stuff?
They're fighting about important things. I mean...
Like?
You know, someone insulted someone. What more do you need to start a brawl in public in a restaurant?
She called me trashy, so I had to throw one of my pumps at her. Brother.
I also watched Celebrity Kitchens.
What is that?
It's a show. It's Cribs, but Kitchens.
Ah, okay.
Your
excuse of getting out of watching Shadowhunters for the B-Movies podcast last week that you did with Whitney while I was in Sundance was that you were up to date on Celebrity Kitchens, and I didn't know what that was.
I started watching it because Nene was going to be on showing her kitchen.
No.
Nene does not cook.
You don't say.
Here's the thing.
Do any of these celebrities?
No! None of them cook! These kitchens are useless!
Here's my kitchen and here's my private chef.
They open up, Nene opens up her kitchen, her refrigerator.
Champagne and suppositories.
Nothing inside the refrigerator.
And like a jar of capers.
Yeah, she opens it up, she's like, I'm just keeping it real. There's nothing in here.
I live in a model home.
But they make them cook. That's the best part. They make everyone who with the celebrity, they make all the celebrity kitchen people cook something. And so they're all just like, here we are. We're cooking a thing.
Who wants a bologna sandwich? Right.
It's utterly entertaining. The only thing that's missing is someone walking in saying, here's where the magic happens. Because...
Ain't no magic.
There's not just no magic. There's nothing. There's a pristine... granite or marble environment.
Right.
Nene went so far as to have all of her appliances completely hidden so that she never had to even be reminded
that it was a kitchen.
That something was supposed to happen in that room.
Is it Sarah Jessica Parker or Sarah Jessica Parker's character on Sex and the City who kept books in the oven?
It might have been her. Yeah. So that's ridiculous. I'll keep watching that.
Okay.
I also watched the worst thing ever made for television.
Oh.
Chrissy Teigen's Hungry. Where every other sentence out of her mouth is some kind of sexual innuendo.
Oh, brother.
About food. And then she does this. Like she and then she giggles about it. Like she's laughing at her own jokes.
Oh, God.
John Legend is on this episode because they're planning their wedding.
Uh-huh.
And every time she does it, he just looks at her like, oh, yeah, we're getting married.
Lifelong commitment. Now, wait, which was the Chrissy Teigen show that Nigella was on?
Some other stupid show that she's got.
How many shows does she have?
She got a couple.
Oh, my God.
Look, all you got to be is pretty.
Apparently. So what happens on Chrissy Teigen's Hungry, which I'm sure she is?
She eats things to prepare for her wedding.
Okay.
She tours a place with John Legend, and they both sit there and eat things and talk about how great that stuff is. Then she makes something. Apparently, she can cook a little bit.
I see.
I don't know how well, but she's not bad at it. And then she
coming next Thursday, Chrissy Teigen is a bridezilla.
She makes John Legend some breakfast. Yeah, these nice little sausage biscuit sandwiches.
Ooh.
That I kind of wanted.
Okay.
But she was doing her own version of the one they were going to serve them at their wedding, which were made with pork belly.
Ooh.
That's the one I want to try.
Please do.
I need to find some pork belly somewhere.
I'm sure Huntington's
probably got it. Yeah, I just never have. I've never cooked with pork belly. I get it at ramen places all the time.
I was going to say.
I've just never bothered to cook with it myself.
You've cooked on the little flaming pit in the center of the table at a Korean barbecue.
Yes, I have.
That's a start.
That's different. That is not the same thing. In my research of Chrissy Teigen, I found...
There was research?
I found someone on Twitter that I've enjoyed following who goes by the name of Crispy Teigen. And that has been my adventure with food programming of the week. I could have a Wendy Williams report for you.
Oh, my God.
But y'all just got to go to the internet. I can't do this justice.
Yeah, you have to go. Dave made me watch this, and it's pretty epic. Her take on the Kanye
Wiz Khalifa
Amber Rose Twitter feud,
which is the greatest thing that happened in the United States yesterday.
Yeah. Sorry, Sundance Film Festival.
Whatever it is Sundance Film Festival had going on, or actual politicians making a difference in the world, or human beings promoting the welfare of the planet, you all had to kind of take a seat for the day, because the greatest thing to happen was the Kanye Wiz Amber kerfuffle.
And the subsequent Wendy Williams summarization of same.
Ms. Williams, my preferred news analyst, was on fire.
Oh, man.
Literally calling Kanye bisexual without saying it.
Yeah.
Saying that Kim Kardashian is his beard.
Yep.
She goes all the way up to saying he's gay and or bisexual without saying it. I don't know if this is true or not.
But it's good television.
She's committed to the narrative. She also gets a little dig in at Martha Stewart in that episode. So if you can find the whole episode...
Oh, I don't think I saw that part.
No, I left that part out. She asked her who she'd go on a road trip with. And she said, Martha Stewart, because she's 75 and great. And she's added 4 years to Martha Stewart's age after Martha Stewart, like...
Scolded her for saying that she was 71.
Scolded her on air for... Yeah. So Ms. Williams was on fire yesterday.
Yes, yes.
I follow Amber Rose on Twitter, of course. And after you see after you watch the Wendy bit about this incident, go read Amber Rose's Twitter account, because there's some extra ones that are
too hot for TV.
They're not too hot for TV, but she shuts it down hard, and it's just fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, I have...
Suffice it that Kanye pulled his
tweets. I didn't care
so
much about her until yesterday. Like, she had that cute baby with Wiz. Baby Bash.
Yes.
He's adorable.
I always think of Amber Rose as being, on the Go Fug Yourself website.
Well, yeah.
She was always in the Sweet 16 every, when they would do Fug Madness every March.
Well, she dresses fancy.
Yes.
And doesn't mind who sees her dressing fancy.
In an experimental sort of way.
Yes. I applaud that about her. But I also applaud her ability to control her men.
And the narrative.
The one that she is currently with, the one she used to be with, and the story going on amongst them.
Yes.
She took the reins and made it calm down.
She shut it down.
It was great. So, that's my report of all televisions for the week. I watched War and Peace and the political documentary.
And Little Women Atlanta.
And Little Women Atlanta.
Now, so your pick this week is, you mentioned before.
That Oprah Weight Watchers
The Oprah
commercial.
Weight Watchers
I
commercial.
Have bread every day.
All right. I'll look for a link to that. My pick this week, just came out on DVD, is Downton Abbey Season 6, which is still airing on PBS. But if you can't wait.
I missed it this week.
Yeah, so did I, because I was in Utah. I got to get caught up. But it's the whole shebang is on DVD, including the Christmas special. So you can tell your local PBS station to cram it. You've already binged the whole thing if you want. It's already out there and ready for you to buy or stream or whatever. So you are, you can, you know, not be
bound,
chained to PBS's schedule.
Right. We got some letters?
We do.
I'm pulling them up.
Okay.
Okay, Matthew. M.A. Ross. Hey, Dave. Hey, Alonzo. After BJ and the Bear, that show would be called Nap.
Ho, 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 ho. Ho.
Dirty, dirty joke.
Yes.
Consider yourself lucky you have only one country and western radio station in Los Angeles. Northern California has way, way, way too many. Well, you know, we could stay in one more.
Yes.
We could stay in one that was like...
For variety.
Alt, you know? I would like...
An Americana station?
I would like to hear Iris Dement on the radio. Yeah. You ain't going to hear her on country radio. And she's terrific.
Yeah.
And this one is from Jesse. Hi, fellas. First, two unsolicited recommendations. Alonzo, you asked, probably rhetorically, is Mozart in the Jungle really that good? During your Golden Globes live tweeting. And I would say that if you enjoyed Smash for what it was and loved Degrassi the way you do, you'd probably get a kick out of Mozart in the Jungle.
Huh.
Bernadette Peters picks up where Angelica Houston left off in the impassioned patron of the arts role, being all fashionable and gorgeous and moneyed and sharp-tongued.
But does she throw martinis in anyone's faces? I need to know.
Also, tee-hee, people kiss. P.S., since you also loved The Kroll Show and Parks and Rec and Key and Peele, I feel it is important to state up front that Mozart in the Jungle is not a comedy. No way, buddy.
Dave? Oh, right, because that's the Golden Globe that it won, yeah.
Yeah. Dave,
just like The Martian.
Dave, if you're in the mood for a travelogue food show, PBS's I'll Have What Phil's Having, I don't know what that is pretty swell and currently available on Netflix. At one point, Phil Rosenthal cries tears of joy while eating freshly churned gelato, which seemed reasonable and logical to me. It's very upbeat and positive. The last episode ends in Los Angeles, so you can judge the selections and suggest your own, like a fun home game version.
Wait, is Phil Rosenthal like the guy who created Everybody Loves Raymond?
I don't know.
Oh, okay, I don't know this show. I'll check it out.
In closing, semi-related to last week's episode, Showtime, in addition to providing Billions for free on Hulu last weekend, also made another great Giamatti work of art available. The movie Duets. I rewatched it of my own free will. And Giamatti really channels Elizabeth Berkley during his Truckers speed bender scenes. Either Jesse Spino or Nomi, take your pick. If we're lucky, maybe someday Ryan Murphy will reboot a Duets as a TV series. Can't wait to give you all a shiny nickel for LK membership goodies. It's not actually going to cost much more than a nickel, really. I don't know where I'd be without my weekly glimpse into Wendy Williams. Jesse, not for letter reading on the air, since I knows... Oh, okay.
Yes, this stop.
Something else.
When it starts with not for letter reading on the air, don't keep reading.
Well, yeah, that's all I'm going to do. The answer to your question that is not for on air? Great. All right.
Good.
Yeah. One more. I'm pulling it up because my computer does things that are weird. Noah. Hello again, Noah. Of course. Look, he listens every week. He writes us in every week.
Mm-hmm.
Good for Noah. I've moved on from disobeying my chemistry teacher to disobeying my math teacher by listening to Marvin Gaye with my new Dr. Dre Beats headphones. You know what kind I have? Bose noise canceling. Guess what those are? Better than Beats by Dre.
And less weird looking. Those Beats by Dre, like, they look...
Well, they look...
Weirdly geometric.
They're cliche.
I don't know what's going on. Yeah. Well, that too. But even before they were... ubiquitous. I always thought they looked weird.
Here, she caught me and made me turn it off. Of course she caught you! You had headphones on in class! A teacher with eyes can see those.
007.
She made me turn it off, but I didn't. I savagely convinced her to allow me to listen to this fire. After that, I wrote a letter to y'all. Here it is. Okay, fam. That's a word the kids are saying.
Oh, is it?
Fam.
Is it the new squad?
I don't know. This is a major key alert. I need y'all's opinion on True Detective Season Poo. I meant Season 2. But I put the word poo because that's what it is. Poo. This show took the top spot on my worst of the year list, a list of which y'all will never know about. Let me know. Don't ever play yourself. Stay away from they. Signed, Noah Black, 15, bisexual.
I had to go in and talk about True Detective Season 2 every week on What the Flick, and it was indeed rotten.
Well, you know, so I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah, don't.
Yeah.
Although I got one line out that became sort of a favorite. I forget the character now, but you find out late in the game that this one character who seemed minor is suddenly doing all this stuff, and his name was like, you know, Jennings or something. I was like, well, that just doesn't seem like Jennings. Jennings wouldn't do that.
Yes, Jennings would.
Yes, apparently so. But who knew? Because no one's well crafted on that show at all.
Okay, so we're done.
Yes. So so this is ostensibly farewell to the free version of LKTV.
Okay, and so here's what's going to happen on Sunday when we record Linoleum Knife.
Yes.
We will explain everything. And if you don't get to that, then there's going to be a link on Facebook,
on all the places,
on
Twitter,
on the places. With there'll be a video. It's all going to be explained. And again, it ain't going to cost much money, seriously. So that's what's going to happen. Subscription. Yeah. It's subscription time.
Right.
Yeah, all right.
Prove your love.
Yeah, do it.
As always, we thank you for listening. And please go leave us a review on iTunes. It really does help people find the show. Stream us on Stitcher Radio or thelounge.com. Like our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at LinoleumCast. Go listen to all of our friends online. Go visit ChristyLemire.com and check out the B-Movies podcast with Bibbs and Whitney and the Schmoes Know and the Rotten Tomatoes Show and Sewers of Paris and the Joe Ryan thing, the Brady Sinellis podcast, and Dennis Enemy with Dennis Hensley and Fat Guys of the Movies and the Criterion Cast and the Game Night Guys and Secretly Timid.
Stuff and Things.
And Stuff and Things. And thanks again to Bibbs and Whitney for Change Partners and Sundancing with us last week. Dave was on the B-Movies podcast last week talking about The Boy and Dirty Grandpa and The Fifth Wave. You should check that out. And then also Bibbs hung out with me at Sundance and we talked about all the movies that we saw in Park City. So that was also a fun episode. And we even did a follow-up version for What the Flick where we talked about even some more movies that we hadn't seen yet when we did the podcast. So,
did you tell them where to follow us?
I did all that. And of course, drop us a line at
Instagram.
I did.
You did. I wasn't listening to that.
You weren't. You tune out, and then you ask me these questions.
You can find me at D. Leland White
on Twitter,
on Instagram.
Oh, and Instagram. That's true. That's true.
And on Twitter.
And I'm on Twitter at A. Duraldi. And you can drop us a line at linoleumpodcast@gmail.com with questions or comments. And so keep an eye out. We will be telling you about how to subscribe to this show, and we're going to make this a show worth subscribing to. We hope we've hooked you in at this point.
If you think it's worthless now, then of course you're not going to subscribe.
Probably not, but we're hoping.
We're trying to entice you with our fancy guests.
We're hoping you find that there was some worth. Until next time, goodbye.